You are listening to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email, presented by Berkshire Community College.
Welcome, everybody, to this, I was going to say this week's, but it's not like we do them every week. No. The newest edition of This Podcast Could Have Been an Email, now world famous.
Yeah.
No,
Wait,
I don't.
I have no idea.
I just thought it sounded kind of cool.
Yeah.
But a very, very, very exciting episode because for the first time we have someone who doesn't work on the at the college or go to school at the college as a guest. The chair of our board of trustees, Julia Bowen. Julia, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me,
Jonah. I typically start these out by asking you how you're doing.
I'm doing okay. It's been, last week was a very long week. Last week, for folks who are listening, that was the community celebration in honor of Ellen Kennedy. And the week before that was commencement. So back to back, really big events. That was like a lot for us to manage. And we did a, I think we did a pretty phenomenal job of both as a college. And I'm really, really proud of us as an institution. And then this week, it's my mother and my husband have the same birthday and it's on Thursday. So it's a whole weekend of birthday celebrations. They're not that interesting. Like, I'm turning 40 this year. They're turning like 39 and 67. Who cares, right? But like, the whole week, it's going to be about their birthday.
Colin, so. I care deeply that it is your birthday.
He stopped listening after episode 7, so. But I'll let him listen to this one, though, for that shout-out.
Well, happy birthday to everybody, and happy pre-40th birthday.
Yeah, it's a while. Well, it's a month. It's about a month and a half.
So. Interestingly, both Julie and I are turning 30 this year.
for me, anyway, the 20th-something time, but yes.
Well, Julia, thanks so much for being on the podcast. I will say Jonah and his team did a really great job with a number of different events, but we had President Kennedy's retirement party, and I thought it was lovely.
Unbelievable.
And thank you for being the MC that you handed off to me.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was really a lovely. It was really lovely.
Both of those events were just beautiful.
I don't know if you saw in iBerkshires, there was a picture of me and the cat, like on the main article, and the caption was that this is Nate McKinnon. So
I did see that, and I was like, well, you know,
I'll have to tell Nate his looks have gone down. But it was really great, and I appreciate both of you for the work that you did. But Julie, most of the time when we do this, it's either students or it is people who work here, and I think. Other than our international listeners, most of the folks who listen to this are internal to the campus. So for people who don't know you, maybe you could tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. Let me talk about a little about who I am outside of BCC and what I do at BCC. Is that the right balance?
Yeah.
So I consider myself a lifelong educator. I had a brief career in international strategy consulting, which for your international audience, they may be interested in that.
Very interested.
But then I became a teacher and then founded the Berkshire Arts and Technology Charter Public School, where I was for 14 years. And from there, I kind of moved more broadly into this outside of a school, but still supporting school leaders. So I spent the last 9 years as a coach. I'm a PCC, a professionally certified coach through the ICF, and coach school leaders who are new in their roles as leaders. And when I say schools, it is largely charter school leaders.
Yeah.
However, that leads to a whole bunch of work, largely in the charter school sector, though also in nonprofits and various places. And it has led me to run for school committee. So I'm the chair of the school committee in for Mount Greylock Regional School District.
Is there anything that you do that you don't become the chair?
I try hard not to. and I kept saying no to that one because I was the chair of this board. And this is, you know, such a love for me. It seemed like the right time there too. In part, interestingly, it was around the time we had a new superintendent. And so since my day job is about supporting leaders who are new in their roles, it felt like a particularly good time for me to step in as chair on that school committee.
You gave us so much to talk about, and I think we can get back to some of it in future segments. But I think I am curious, or I imagine our listeners are curious, what drew you to joining the Berkshire Community College Board And I think there might be some people listening who don't actually completely understand what the Berkshire Community College Board is and does.
Okay. So I'll tell you quite honestly, well, while I was at BART, we had a really good relationship and partnership with Berkshire Community College, especially with dual enrollment. So all of our seniors were required to take courses on a college campus. Many of them took them here at BCC. So I started to learn about BCC. I will tell you, I did not understand community colleges at that point. Ellen reached out to me at some point, and of course, in her effort to connect with the K-12 system, especially bring in people to the board who are interested in the mission of this college. Even though I didn't understand this mission, she understood who I was. And so she asked me to think about joining this board. It's not actually her choice. It's not even really the board's choice about who is on the board. We are appointed by the governor.
Right.
But she, we spoke, and I actually, through my work at BART, I had gotten to know a number of people at the state level.
You may have won an award specifically for you from the governor.
I won an award?
Didn't you?
I don't remember. I mean, the school won awards for our performance, and they were very, I don't know. I also could forget. I've had enough 30th birthdays that I may have forgotten.
Well, listeners, Google search Julia Bowen. You might find some interesting things about how wonderful she is.
Oh, well, that's very kind. Okay. So I joined really because Ellen introduced me to the real work of the school beyond the dual enrollment program. I joined as, you know, certainly just as a member. And I think it was my first or second meeting where, you know, we had people come in and present programs that were happening in the college. And I was in between. I decided I was going to leave BART and I didn't know what I was going to do next. And somebody came in to talk about the public health certification program. And I was like, wow, I think I'm going to do that.
I remember that.
And then the next month, it was somebody came in to talk about the drama program. I was like, wow, that's what I'm going to do. And I just got super excited. So I said yes.
When did you join?
I joined, I think that was 2016 or 2017.
Wow.
Yeah.
I started here in 2016. It'll be 10 years for me in August. Well, technically September. And I think you joined the board shortly after I started.
Okay. Yep.
If I remember that correctly. I remember that community health worker certificate presentation and how excited you were, actually.
Actually, fun fact, that was one of the first programs I started in 2017, and I was taking a tour with Christina, and I had sort of broken my foot at the time, but didn't want her to know that I had done that. So I'm hobbling around the campus, and the first thing she said, you know how your first day, whatever you said, someone says, it gets imprinted on you, is really important. She goes, oh yeah, we're going to start doing this GP STEM program. It's called Community Health Work. We've started marketing that. So I went all in crazy, being like, it's the most important program in the world on my first month. And I was like, oh, it's actually one of 50 programs. Right. I was like, it's imprinted. This is super important to remember to market.
It's so fun.
It's so funny that we all have that same, the same moment of entering into the college.
Yeah. I remember. So I started a few days before I actually started because, we work with a company called EAB that's based out of Washington, D.C., and we had just contracted with them, and their first visit was in late August, and my official first day was September 1st, and I went to it, and part of what they did was asked us to work through our enrollment process, and they mapped it out, and the whole point was, and we were one of the colleges that does this, is that it doesn't really make sense. It's a spaghetti map is what they call it, and there are things that happened in that meeting that I bring up in meetings all the time. So I think you're right. I'm like, I remember the very first. Yeah, so that brings us to the end of our first segment, and we will be right back with this podcast. Could have been an email after this.
The 4th of July parade is just around the corner, and we're still looking for volunteers to march in the parade with us. You can help show your community support by signing up to represent your community college to the masses on Saturday, July 4th. Lineup is on Bartlett Ave in Pittsfield around 10 a.m., and it's a real joy to celebrate your community college with your community on the 250th anniversary of our country. Just shoot me an email and we'll get you on the list.
And we're back with this podcast. Could have been an email, and our guest, Julia Bowen, who is the chair of the Berkshire Community College Board of Trustees. I think that I finally have gotten to a point where I don't read the name of our podcast on the sheet of paper in front of me.
Wow. It's still like, I feel like you want to, though. I feel like you like.
I definitely want to. Because it would be really embarrassing if I got the name of our own podcast wrong.
Yeah, after this many episodes. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I get it. Yeah. I had to memorize it. Okay. So, yeah.
So Julia, you were talking about kind of your journey to get on the board, and we were thinking about the beginning of it. For our listeners who don't know much about what a community college board of trustees does, I think it would be helpful.
Yep. I mean, I think fundamentally our role is to represent the community. And so we are a community of people. We are 11 people on the board of trustees from the community, one a student, who have all different roles in our broader community, from banks, from K-12. We've got people at a foundation, just a mix of people with different from General Dynamics, from the hospital. So just those voices as to provide a kind of part of the governance structure for the college. Our role is ultimately to recommend who we hire as a president and perform her or his annual evaluations each year, to approve a budget, and to approve kind of the key decisions, key major decisions. So we have to approve all personnel decisions, not that we are digging at all into the HR world, but we need to be aware of and understand who's being appointed. And then also programs. So new certifications, mm-hmm. new programs. And we're just one step in that process because, as we all know, those things then go to the state agencies. So we are like the first line to look at that from the community perspective.
I think one of the things that is interesting and maybe unique about American higher education is public institutions of higher ed and private typically have some sort of governance mm-hmm. Process that includes a board that's external to the day-to-day of the college. When I was in Minnesota, I was part of the Minnesota state system, which is the same system that Hara, our new president, is coming from. And in Minnesota, the Minnesota state system is the third largest system of higher ed in the country, at least it was when I left. Mm-hmm. And it has a centralized board in St. Paul. So it's the state universities and the community colleges in one system.
Whoa.
With a chancellor, and the president's boss is the chancellor. We're here that the board of trustees is really the, as you said, you hire and evaluate our president.
Right. It is interesting. It's we are almost in some ways a layer between the president and the commissioner in that it is, and the board of higher ed in that it is ultimately, as we know, if you've been, I know but over the past few months, it's been made very clear, it's actually the board of higher ed that appoints our president.
Right.
But that doesn't mean the day-to-day management or the day-to-day oversight and governance function does rest with us, not with the board of higher ed. It isn't. And to your point, I mean, in some states, boards of trustees are elected. In mm-hmm. some states, all the colleges, as you said, go into one board. Here, every community college has its own board. We do consider ourselves a system, but we all, and there are guidelines we all need to operate under, but we are just for BCC.
And funding is different. So there are many states where community colleges are partially funded by property taxes.
Right.
So you have an elected governing board, and it's part of it is that there's a fiduciary responsibility to the taxes that are being paid from that community. So if you're interested in this stuff, go get a master's degree in higher education administration. Or
I think the other thing in there too, though, is so it's not just overseeing like the president and evaluating the president in that case, but it's also strategic planning. That also comes through the DHC process as well, and that has to be approved through our board structure, which is like the work of improving every single outcome that we can think of. 100%.
Jonah, like that is actually should really be the number one thing I said.
It's okay.
Are we meeting the outcomes that we are meant to meet? Right. How are we defining those? What are the goals? And then seeing all the information come from you, the team, how are we doing against those goals?
As somebody who had never been through it, I haven't for 9 years, but previously I've been on a lot of different boards, but they've been nonprofit boards. This process was very different because of the presentations that you get at your board meetings. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why are you getting those presentations? Like, really? But it's because that's the work.
Yes.
And that's how you get to see the work in action, so you can speak more fluently to how you can say, like, yes, we're going to do this thing because X will happen. Because I just learned that from the expert in the room. Correct. Which is the person who has that degree, right?
So. Correct. Yeah, we are not experts on any of the things.
Nor am I on anything. So.
Right. But that is. But without that strategic plan at the core of what we do, we couldn't understand, are we approving the right budget?
Right.
Are
exactly.
When we evaluate the president, is the president achieving the things that we have all agreed are the goals for the school? Absolutely. That strategic plan written and, you know, developed by the team, not the board, but
right.
but approved by the board right. so that we are in collaboration and can use that to guide all the other work.
Right. And there was the SOAR projects last year, four years ago when we did the strategic plan, which included the
yes.
board input.
So there
was
absolutely.
The voice of the board and all the community
totally.
Members.
Totally.
Involved in that process of developing the plan. So.
The other thing I would say that we, as a board, do, and is very true with nonprofit boards and other potentially other education boards, is we are also meant to be somewhat of ambassadors out
yeah.
into the community.
Absolutely.
And so you're like, yes, please, thanks.
Yeah.
do more of that, please. We are meant to be ambassadors. And we can't do that effectively if we don't understand the direction of the school and the mm-hmm. goals and you know all the pieces that fit together.
Well, you didn't say the strategic planning was the first thing that you talked about. You talked about hiring the president, and I think that you're probably high in your mind because you just went through
that
process.
Yeah.
I serve on two boards locally. I chair the YMCA board. I'm also on the Breen Center board, and we had gone through call them presidents, but CEO searches over the last couple of years after having been on the board for a while, and not especially at the Breen Center. We'd had a long term. CEO there, but it is really exciting. And
yes.
and when it's not your day-to-day work, it helps you understand an organization from my experience even more deeply. I'm curious.
Absolutely.
Hear, yeah. Curious
Absolutely.
To hear about your thoughts of kind of coming out of this process.
I would say of all the things I did, and I operate on a school year basis as well,
yeah.
given my day job. I would say of all the things I've done this year, that was the most fulfilling. And it was just an unbelievable experience, not just because we were able to hire a phenomenal candidate to lead our college forward, but also serving on the search committee with all of the search committee members who were just fabulous, and getting to know people in the college in that way was phenomenal. Even earlier in that process of the kind of the needs assessment or, what we used to develop the position profile, that process was phenomenal to be able to get and see at a, more granular level what people were looking for and what
right.
they wanted. Every step of the way, I just felt it was an opportunity for our college to come together, and it was an opportunity to learn more about who we really are as a college. And I would also say our entire board is way more animated and excited. And I think everybody on the board always is, but this was like amped up to a new level. Just excited to think about, and work together in ways that we hadn't worked before.
Yeah, that's great. We need to take another break. When we come back, I think we'll talk just a little bit more about this. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this podcast. Could have been an email.
Did you hear about this? The Patterson Pool is opening on Saturday, June 20th, and this summer, Rebecca Weary is offering swimming lessons for people like me who have only ever learned how to doggy paddle, and even that I do poorly. With your free Patterson Gym membership, you can use the only publicly available in-ground uncovered pool in the Berkshires, and tell your friends. They can host pool parties and enjoy a reprieve from our summer heat with their Patterson membership.
And we're back with this podcast. Could have been an email. I think every time we do have one of these conversations with someone, there are these moments of synergy. And I think for me, the thing that I'm struck by is you've talked about how your work currently is helping to onboard
mm-hmm.
new leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You led the process to mm-hmm. identify the new leader for this institution. How did you feel prepared for doing what you did up to now, as you look forward to making the transition to our new president? How might those skills that you've developed and use every day, more in the K-12 system, but,
right.
but still, it's leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
What do you see as the next steps in our presidential transition
right.
and the role that you're going to take in it?
Right. I think what I knew from my outside work as I was leading the process, I feel like I've been a student of leaders for a long time, And I personally, I knew what I wanted to see wasn't the most important thing was somebody who could connect with others and who was reflective and open to learning. And obviously there's a lot of technical content that a leader needs to have. But I had a particular eye for that as I was thinking about leaders. And I think Hera delivers that, you know, hands down, beyond anybody else. As I move forward, I think, so my master's is in organizational development and leadership. And I think this transition is, no matter what, it is a moment of change and change management. Yep. And so that is what I feel like I have supported leaders through before, you know, pacing, helping a leader learn about an institution because, you know, anyone can come in and be like, I think these things are, you know, are the things that need to change because we all need to grow and change. Right. Mm-hmm. But what I hope to bring and support Hera with, and I'm not sure what support Hera is going to need. She's pretty awesome. Uh-huh. But the kinds of conversations that we've been having even so far, are really about how is she learning about this institution? Who is she, you know, able to connect with? Who hasn't she had a chance to connect with yet? How is she going to really understand? She's like in the study phase right now, yeah. Which is exactly where we want her to be. Right. I haven't heard anything like these things have to, like, she's just loving BCC and soaking it up. Yeah. And I think that, that is what I wanted to see in a potential new leader, that would be their approach. It is her approach. And my role going forward is just to help her think about, if, you know, how does she marshal the knowledge and wisdom of the institution, to bring the institution forward in a way that's collaborative. And I'm not worried about it at all. I'm just going to be a thought partner.
One of the things I'm excited about for this transition is, you know, I've been in the Berkshires my entire life. It's my identity. It's what I am. I feel so strongly connected to this area, and I have for generations of my family. It's the opportunity to also understand, you know, I've wanted to work at BCC since I was 13 years old. So also understanding the Berkshires and how incredibly unique and different and persistent and how much great information we have, but how loving and connected and like
yes.
all those things, like the opportunity to like show someone that means you get to have it back yourself. You get to rejuvenate yourself through that process as well. So like making sure that we position Hera to be in places where she can fall in love with the Berkshires means you get to watch someone fall in love with the place you love yourself. And I'm really excited
yes.
for that those moments to happen, both on campus, through our student population, through our alumni populations, everything that we do here, the teaching and learning opportunities, but then also just like the Berkshires himself, which has yep. its own, you know, love and je ne sais quoi. So.
And as a compliment to you, Jonah, you do that with everybody who comes to this college. Probably everyone you meet in the Berkshires, but it's not just about the president for you.
No.
Anytime we hire anyone, Jonah kind of gets this like, oh my gosh, I get to share this thing yeah. I'm in love with at my home, and it is great.
I have a list. I have like, so I've hiked every like location with my dog that you can in the Berkshires, and like where my favorite places are, which ones are haunted, which ones have too many ticks, like where to eat, where to go out for the, which winery has the best wine, which brewery has the best beer, like all of those things, like just get me so excited. And not in winter, I hate winter. But short of that, like, and being able to share those things with people, anyone. I mean, it's just, I'm really excited for that too, because I think that's going to help get her grounded quickly to feel like, oh, I've made the right decision and I can't wait to see what happens next because I chose the Berkshires.
I was going to say, you might be a little late to the game
because I think she's already in love with the Berkshires. Yeah, we have already chatted. You're right.
So I have three failed attempts at writing a dissertation, but the most recent one I was working on sense making for people making a transition in the provost role.
Uh-huh.
But there's part of the reason I picked that is that there isn't any research on provost transition. There's a lot on presidential transition, but I was very focused on sense making and the idea of like, how do you make sense of the new environment, the new college that you are taking leadership in? And I think it's an interesting challenge to have someone who's been a president for 10 years and then to move. I've worked for a number of different presidents, none of whom had been a president before coming be a president. This will be my first experience.
I didn't know that.
I should say this is only going to be the second president I've worked directly for, but I've worked under presidents. So I'm like,
interesting.
You've probably worked with superintendents or leaders who've already held that role. What is unique in this challenge versus someone who's maybe elevated from a vice presidential or a provost role into a presidency?
That is a great question.
I know. You could write a whole dissertation on it that I didn't do.
And actually, but I haven't, I have neither read or written a dissertation on this, right? Even at the, you know, the K-12 level where I'm working. And my assumption is that sense-making process is very unique to the individual. And I guess I'd be interested in, and now I'm like, okay, can we have a second podcast that's focused on that dissertation? Cause I would love to understand the research on that.
Yeah. So sense making as a like theoretical framework comes from a guy named Carl Weck, and there it's too much. This, you're right. We do need a whole podcast on what it is. But there is this kind of idea that when we go into something new, we're making sense of it. Mm-hmm. And there's research. I actually shared with Hera an article by a guy named Smerick. I can't remember his first name, but Dr. Smerick works at Northwestern. Specifically about what it means to be a president and going through the transitions. And one of the big challenges is if you're someone like me and you think out loud, you have this tendency to talk about what you're thinking, you're brainstorming.
Right.
But as a leader, people hear you and they're
right.
like, oh, you know,
they're going to do this.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
So how do you find the people to make sense of your organization without narrating and then creating a reality that you're not intending to make.
And I love that you say that because that is the role I believe I play. That is the role I believe I play day to day with all the leaders I work with, you know, for my job. But that is the role I believe I play as the board chair.
Yeah.
And it's not actually that I have, that I can say, oh, you're making the wrong sense of something.
Right.
I don't, in most cases, I'm not sure I would be able to say that with any conviction. But what I can do is ask questions about how they've made sense, what information they've gathered, what question, you know, like just the thought partnership, and use my own intuition around where might their sense making be, you know, aided by more questions.
That's great. We have to take our final break, but thank you and stick around. I think we'll have a fun last segment to this podcast. Could have been an email.
The BCC Falcons have begun their preparations for the fall. If you know anyone interested in playing for the Falcons women's volleyball team, encourage them to attend the training sessions that are running through August 1st in the Patterson Gym on Mondays at 6 p.m. and Saturdays at 10 a.m. Just have them email Daryl Shreve with any questions and to learn more about how to become a volleyball player this fall. With our first home game taking place on Thursday, September 17th versus the Roxbury Community College Tigers.
And we're back to this podcast. Could have been an email. Julia, before we get into kind of questions about where you are and what's going on in your personal life, that's typically how we end, just wanted to give you an opportunity. I know you did this publicly, but to talk a little bit about what it was like working with President Kennedy.
Well, as I described earlier, she's the reason I came. And what has been pretty amazing as I have served on this board is how many other people have said the same thing.
Yeah.
So at least I know I'm not alone. She has just been a pure joy to work with. I feel like I've probably learned more from her than the other way, which is totally typical. But I've learned so, and I feel like typical of many people who work with her. But as I said at her event the other night, I really find her inspiring. And I find her inspiring because despite all of the challenges of a role like the president, and all of the demands on her to, you know, any demand, all of the demands that people put on her, she always leads with kindness and compassion and making sure that people feel they belong and making sure that people are comfortable. That the joke that Nate said that she would give you the shirt off her back and then offer you a jacket and then call you later and tell you not even to return them. And like, I was like, oh my God, that is just so Ellen. And I find it just inspiring. And Adam, your story about 4 a.m. And how she was still friendly and chatting it up with the Uber driver. I just find her absolutely inspiring in how she can be so caring for everybody else.
Thank you. So we have two Minnesota listeners. Their name are Matt and Ben, and both of them read Stormlight Archives. And I just have to say, I'm deep into book four, and Shallan is incredibly annoying. So Matt and Ben, if you have been listening, waiting for our Stormlight Archives.
It doesn't get better until right around the ending, but it gets so much better, I promise you. But I was right where you were, and oh my God. I know.
Matt is going to be in the Berkshires June 17th and 18th. So if folks want to meet him, we could probably make that happen. And I, you know, maybe we can think about getting
him on the podcast.
Maybe.
Yeah. Special guest.
The other thing that that Julia and I share in common is that we both have seniors who are graduating. Mine has graduated now. By the time this is on air, mine will have as well. We had senior awards night last night. Graduation is on Sunday. And I'm just, how are you doing?
I don't think it's fully hit me yet. It won't hit me until he's gone from the house in the fall, I don't think. And right now, I'm almost dealing with the senioritis of you know, the craziness of their schedule.
Yeah.
But it was a beautiful ceremony, and I'm so crazy proud of him.
It's interesting because around the holidays, people talk a lot about how the holidays are wonderful for people, but for some people, it's actually the hardest time of the year. And I was thinking about this a little bit and kind of the emotional response I'm having to my daughter graduating from high school and going through our commencement. And, you know, Christina and I have talked about this since we started. She always talks about how graduation's her favorite day of the year. And for me, orientation's my favorite day of the year. And I think it says something about our styles. She likes, she says she's a finisher. She likes things to be closed and she likes the end. I think I like the beginning and possibility and the future, and probably one of the reasons the two of us work so well together. But I was thinking that as we get into kind of the end of the academic year, that's a really lovely thing for lots of us, and it is really exciting. But there are people who are really dealing with things, and this is a good reminder that if there are people in your life who you're worried about, reach out to them, check in. No one's ever going to mind getting a phone call or a text to check in and make sure that they're okay.
Yeah.
So
make
sure you have a, if you're dropping your kids off at school for the first time, like my mom did for me, I was the first person in her family of seven kids to go to college.
Wow.
And she had at the time my brother was 11 years old and it was just the two of them. She dropped me off at MCLA, my first time going to school, walk away. She cried so hard she couldn't see straight driving home, and she needed a designated driver. So make sure you think twice before.
Oh, yeah.
Who's going to be driving him home after we drop him off?
I think my 11-year-old held the wheel for most of that drive home. So.
My mom and I drove my brother from Minnesota to Brandeis, where he went, and we had to pull over because the two of us were weeping. So wish me luck on Sunday, guys. Thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Absolutely.
I think we may have enough content to bring you back one more time.
I love just talking with you guys. So whenever, yes.
That's great. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Like I said, take care of one another. Enjoy what is one of the most beautiful times of the year, though they all are here in the Berkshires. And thank you, as always, for listening to this podcast. Could have been an email.
Special thanks to my co-host, Adam Klapatire, for continuing to commit to this podcast and leading it to new levels. Special thanks to Julia Bowen, our board chair, for taking the time to join us in the recording studio and for believing in this wee little show. Special thanks, as always, to Alzi Mercado and Dave Cachet, and for all of the work Schwabisser does to make this podcast sound good. And finally, thank you, dear listeners. We know there are a million ways to spend your time, and the fact that you chose us is totally important. My name is Jonah Sykes, and you are listening to this podcast, Could Have Been an Email, from Berkshire Community College.